What's bugging you, Murphy?
Drugs bug me.
In a laboratory test, female animals treated with the active component in marijuana experienced a 44% death rate among their offspring.
They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century earth disease called hard drug abuse.
I just want to shake some sense into you kids that are using drugs and beat about using it. So remember, don't.
Montucky Skies.
Welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
I'm Brennan.
I'm John Malkovich.
Are you being John Malkovich?
I am being John Malkovich.
Are you teasing box office battle?
I sure am. Sometimes I use this as a platform to plug other shows.
Yeah, that's fine.
And so, the film Aragon.
Yeah, so I'll just finish plugging that. In box office battle, we are having a Clooney off, which is hilarious because Brandon's got to judge it.
And I have to promote Wanda Mount Valhalla. George Clooney is going to end up on Mount Valhalla because of my doing.
I didn't think of it.
We gave him
way,
a real Sophie's choice.
So it's going to be Burn After Reading and Return of the Killer Tomatoes. I couldn't remember the one I was doing.
I was going to say, it's great that mine comes right to the top of your head, but yours, you're like, shh, what did I do?
It was the Malkovich.
Sure.
Yeah. So you got me in that head.
It's always the Malkovich.
Malkovich. So speaking of not safe for network shows, I wanted to start this off right out of the gate. So I was sitting there at work humoring myself, and I actually turned off my podcast that I usually listen to and just thought about this for a long time and chuckled to myself. So I wanted to figure out, of all the podcasters in Not Safe for Network, what character they would be in Saved by the Bell if gender didn't matter. So I'm going to throw out my list, and then you guys can throw out your own list or amend or whatever. So in this room, now keep in mind gender doesn't matter, and
of course,
explain.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of female characters, and it's the only way we could get them all in.
There's a lot of people who, when presented with what you just talked about, would be thinking, man, I hope I'm blank. For me, there's just two people I'm hoping I'm not. So I want to see where this goes.
You guys may not be thrilled, but keep in mind gender doesn't matter. All right, so my first one is Brandon. I had you pegged as Lisa Turtle when I thought about it for a long time, because the one thing in this podcast that we discovered time and time again in all the podcasts, especially Box Office Battle, is that you don't suffer fools. Like, Lisa Turtle always has, like, Screech Hind stuff with it and, like, doesn't suffer a fool. And that's why I think you're Lisa Turtle. Okay? All right, Zach, I got you. I got you pegged as Jesse Spano.
That's because exactly what I was hoping for.
Because you're smart. Like, you get excited.
And I get so excited.
I get so excited. But you're always game for a lot of stuff. So.
And in my future, I'm going to be super sexy in Vegas.
But here's where it gets awkward. I'm probably the AC Slater, because I could be a dick sometimes, but I think I'm lovable too.
And you have dead eyes like a shark.
That's right.
Like AC Slater.
I'm in a lot of shows. That factors into it too, if you look at Mario Lopez. Okay, so then moving on outside of our podcast.
Who's Principal Belding?
Principal Belding would be Aaron Donaldson.
Nice.
I gotta say, first off, yeah, dude's a professor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the closest to principal I think we can get. He's got a lot of wisdom that a lot of us choose not to use sometimes, I think. So he's definitely the Belding. For the We Had a Good Life podcast, like, Matthew Campbell is so charming, and a lot of people like
him.
He's
about to be Zach Morris up in
yeah,
here.
Yeah, he's
Time
Zach
out.
Morris. That's right. And then, keep in mind, Dub, gender doesn't matter. He's the Kelly Kapowski, because they belong together, and once again, very popular.
And he's foxy.
And I live with the dude for a couple of months, and he's always smiling. And
well,
that's a Kelly characteristic.
That is a Kelly Kapowski characteristic.
Yeah, even when she was depressed about something, it wasn't very long. Zach would pull her out of it.
That's right.
So, what show am I missing? Shooting the Show. I think that's all that's left, right? So, I love Connor. He's smart, but if you listen to the show, they run through topics that are like wrestling, that he immediately goes into One Tree Hill. And there seems to be no awareness that, like, this isn't probably socially acceptable. So he's pretty much the Screech of the Not Safe for Network. And then Eric, you're a lot like like Connor in those ways, so he's probably the Violet. Remember Violet?
Oh, Violet!
Yeah. Dude, I'm doing a deep dive on this. Right? Now, you think I'm done? I'm not done yet. So, Greg, okay, he came on in the beginning and then sort of disappeared,
uh-huh.
Right? That's why he's the Miss Bliss.
Like, nice.
He was one of the two main characters when he started out. And then, like, went away, unexplained. Just vanished one day.
Does so, Adrian get to be somebody?
Yep.
All right.
So, Adrian is the Tory.
Oh,
because, like, he's not in the show. And then suddenly he's a replacement and he's on the show. And then he just disappears without any explanation one day. That's why he's the Tory.
Can I just tell you guys what really bums me out about this?
Yes.
Is that I was going to do what OC characters are all the not safe for network people, and that's out the question.
I think this is a good opportunity to do that.
But well, I didn't have it prepared.
Did I screw something up? Do you guys got different ideas here? Do you want to be somebody different?
I'm a narcissist, so the whole time I was thinking, man, I just don't let me be Screech.
That's where I'm like, my head's going. I'm like, please don't.
And if I could
Screech.
Be Jesse, that'd be pretty great. I got a thing for Elizabeth Berkley. I don't know what to tell you.
You know, I was exactly in the same mind frame you are. Like, I'm like, I was secretly hoping for Jesse Spano. Like,
yeah, right? She's the best.
Well, and the irony is, when we were talking about the rise of shooting the show, he was like Jesse Spano and Showgirls, and we were like the Gina Gershon.
Yeah, we were.
But that don't carry over into Saved by the Bell.
They're very different people. Very different people with very different ideals.
Connor and Eric, you're Screech and Violet. Sorry. You did this to yourself.
Remember, we didn't do this to you.
You did this to you. So I was amused by that. It took me a while to come up with all those.
I'm sure.
The Lisa Turtle thing wasn't apparent. I could not think of who you were. And then it occurred to me, like, the not suffering a fool. And honestly, like, Lisa had the least amount of lines of the characters.
Yeah. Like, I get it. And I'm not ashamed by it.
You're not Screech.
Yeah, I'm not Screech. That's pretty much all it boils down to.
I mean, now if you want to really pick this apart, I mean, a lot of the time it won't work. For example, you don't really, like, care about fashion.
No.
So that's where it falls apart. You're also not a black woman, so there's
that as well. Wait, whoa. Have you heard of the movie Shallow Hal? Where Jack Black sees unattractive people as attractive people?
Yeah. Well, just think, one person.
No,
he saw
including
the true
men.
Yeah, he saw the true self of everybody.
Oh, but yeah. not people he already knew, right?
Because it kind of fell in and out. But like,
yeah,
because
there
saw
were some
the,
people
the
he
hot,
knew.
Like was a normal hot nurse.
It was like a creepy old hag, and he knew her. There were some people he.
It didn't make sense.
One of the many reasons Shallow Hal is not a great movie is because I didn't think that's true. But in any case, I think I have a Shallow Hal thing where I see Brandon as a foxy black lady. I did think it was a weird name for a black
now
lady.
What kind of like hot black lady? Are we talking like Michelle Obama hot? Or?
We're talking like prime Pam Grier hot.
Okay.
Like 1973 works. Pam Grier.
Ooh, Pam Grier.
I know, right?
How does Adrian feel about that?
How does he feel? They're fine. I wish I could find that wave file.
Can we get, next time Adrian's in here, can we just record him saying she's fine just so we have the drop ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yes, we can, and we should. And I mean, I could probably go back and find it, but I will tease this ahead of time because I don't know what episode we're on now. I think we're like on 181 or 182, somewhere around there. We're getting close to 200. Adrian has committed, come hell or high water, or however you say that, he will be here for the 200th episode.
Nice. So. We have to do something real special.
Yeah. Yeah, we will.
We're going to need to have some porch discussions.
I think something that we'll do, too, that we were talking about is between episode 199 and 2000, we're going to...
Whoa, hold on. 199 and 2000, that's
sorry,
a lot 200. Of episodes to cover. Yeah.
200. I'm just expecting 2,000 hits by that point. But between those episodes, we're going to rerun episodes, and there's some topic as to what those episodes will be.
I know what one of them is going to be.
Yeah, my thought was like all of our first appearances for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's got to happen. But then the other ones
there's some greatest
are
hits to pull.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think One Last Job might make
one it. I think Iron Cross has to make
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think Iron Cross has to
anytime
make
we talk about the guy with the keys, I feel like has to be there. Sex Talk with Dr. Peter Sexman.
That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Dude, that's a lot. That's more episodes than we can fit.
Oh, no. We have to cull our greatest hits.
We might have to.
Well, that's okay. We can do it again between 299 and 300.
Maybe the best way to do that is to actually go back and listen to those episodes and then decide which ones we thought
were
the best.
If some listener wants to save us some work, how about you just make us a clip show?
Yeah, because I ain't doing
it. And we'll play that as 199.5. It'll just be a greatest hits clip show.
Yeah.
We'll just record a beginning and the end where we're like, do you guys remember? And then it'll start the clips. It'll be great.
Yeah,
I'm all about special episodes that require like 10 minutes of us actually doing recording.
My problem with that is so much work for me.
Yeah, it is.
Which is why I don't want to do it. Because that's like listening to many, many hours of shows. And I just...
That's
like,
why I want
I
one of our listeners to
had a problem coming
help.
Up with 2 minutes of commercial for the first Not Safe for Network commercial I did. With just like one clip from each show. And I was just like, I want to pull my hair out. So, yeah, I won't be doing any clip episodes.
No, but if an enterprising listener wants to.
Yeah, I'll play it.
Have at it.
Can I say something that kind of bothered me on
sure.
a personal note? So we did the Thin Men last week, and we had a guy in here from the Myrna Loy who runs sound. And so, of course, for that episode, for his interview and for our review, I was editing all this stuff in the spare time I had when I wasn't spending time with my wife and my
and
kids.
And your family.
Yeah, and I saved them as MP3s, not as WAV files, so when I mixed them together, I took an MP3 and turned it into an MP3, so it's all like...
Oh, it's hyper-compressed.
Totally listenable, but just annoying to me, especially knowing that somebody who edits sound
is
probably hearing it. Oh, that drove me crazy.
Oh, no. Well, at least now you have the caveat out there.
Well, and it was one of those things, like, I had to make the decision. Do I spend another day before I put the episode out and fix it and re-edit everything, which would take me about 2 hours?
Ugh.
Or do I just put it up? And I was like, I'm just going to put it
up. You made the exact same decision I would have made in your shoes.
And I also made the decision that won't cost us any hits.
Yeah.
So that was the ultimate decider was...
I wouldn't have even made it to that level of the thinking. I'd be like, what's easier? I'm going to do the easier one.
Yeah, that was the deciding factor for me, because I could have waited one more day, but I was like, yeah, we'll take hits if we... Or we'll lose hits if we mm-hmm. do that. I was like, fuck that. So
We have appearances to keep up.
That's right. I'm too vain to lose to lose hits like that. By the way, we never talked about this, shooting the show. So they, like, shot way up in hits, right? Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the 2,000 hits and all that and what they had to do. And the day before we started talking about that, like, I went that night and looked it up, and they had this major drop, and they just stayed down with the drop. So now
there's something fishy about that.
Well, that's what I thought at first, too, until I realized that we were not calling them on it at that point. It was the day before. So I think... Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Something weird happened.
Yeah.
They must have offended a group of people.
Maybe.
Who have you guys been shitty to recently?
Maybe it was just Eric's own suggestion. They didn't want to see it. I don't know. But they... So our podcasts, like our three, are both outperforming theirs. And our podcast, The Thin Men, is also outperforming theirs.
Yeah.
But it's doing better than Real Roulette, which hasn't had a new episode in quite a while.
Yes. It is doing better in the ratings than a canceled show.
But there was a segment of time where it was. And when they first hit that drop, that was part of that time, too.
Uh-huh. So.
It amazes me that still gets hits, dude. That still gets around 300 hits a week.
Really?
Like 250 to 300 hits a week.
Man.
I don't know how. It's just, I think it's just the tags, like, people want to see those
stumble
movies.
Across it.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I think
people are always looking for discussions about Charlie Countryman.
Yeah. It's probably more Memento.
Not Zombie Nation? You don't think that movie's selling people?
Maybe.
Maybe a little bit. Actually, you're probably not
it's
too far.
It's possible. It's definitely possible. There was some kind of big news. So apparently with the Sony hacks, it got out that...
The Sony hacks, can we just talk about these as a concept?
Yes.
These are the greatest thing that have ever happened, and I hope every studio gets hacked. This is...
Yeah, I kind of do too.
Amazing. This is... We are learning so much shit about these people.
Why don't you start with yours, and then I'll get into the one I was going to bring
up. I mean,
up.
I don't even know where to begin. I just... Scott Rudin seems like a real asshole, doesn't he?
Who is Scott Rudin?
He's a producer who works with Sony, and he features in a lot of these emails. David Fincher comes off as a hilarious, snarky dick. So Amy Pascal is featured in basically all these emails, and she's one of the heads of Sony. And she comes across as one of the dumbest people in Hollywood. Good, well-intentioned, great taste in art and artists, just not all that bright. In any case... She's emailing David Fincher about David Fincher dropping out of the Steve Jobs movie, the Aaron Sorkin Steve Jobs movie. And she forwards him the Variety headline that announced he was no longer doing it. And it's great. It's got like three things, and it's like Fincher no longer doing Jobs, something else, and Adam Driver cast as the villain in Star Wars. And she emails David Fincher and goes, "What the fuck?" And he just writes back, "I know, I think he's a weird choice for the villain, too." David Fincher is the best. It just made me like him more. He's such a snarky dick.
That is pretty great.
There's a whole bunch of talk about Sony's jealousy boner for Marvel, including them offering the Russo brothers basically the job to be the godfathers of the Spider-Man universe.
So that's what I want to talk about was apparently, so what the contract offers were that we talked about earlier about Marvel and Sony kind of combining forces for the Spider-Man. So we've got details out of what Marvel wanted and what their sticking points were. So what they're trying to negotiate is a 60-40 split to Marvel, and Sony handles the distribution, and... Then Marvel gets all creative control over the character. Furthermore, all the contracts for all the characters and Spider-Man, like all the actors who are playing them, they don't want to honor any of them. Or at least like they don't want any of them.
And this
in
is something
film.
Interesting, too. In some of the separate emails, they talked about how Andrew Garfield is either has been or is going to be fired. As Spider-Man, so it
so
sort
that's
of seems
even
like
more than I've heard.
Well, it sort of and that was independent of the Marvel talks. So it seems like when Marvel was like, "I don't want the we don't want these actors that you've hired," Sony in the back of their heads was like, "Yeah, we don't either." To be entirely honest,
so you don't think it's that they want this deal to happen? And,
I think there's a.
I think Sony has so much less work if
I
they
think
do that.
There are people within Sony who want it to happen and people within Sony who don't. Like yeah. Amy Pascal, yeah. Pretty clearly wants it to happen. Avi Arad has no interest in it happening.
I mean, I gotta say, for that 60-40 split, if they're just handling
I'd take
distribution.
That 10 times
take
out of 10.
It.
Dude, yeah.
And twice on Sunday.
I mean, like, look at how much money they make off the James Bond franchise, and they don't do shit except for, like,
put it out. Yeah.
I mean, that's easy for Sony. That's really easy. And it's easier for Disney, too. If somebody else puts out the movie, they can just work on, like, making
Yeah, they
a
can
good
just
movie.
Focus on the creative. It's a best of both worlds. Now, the nice thing is apparently Marvel and Sony are having another summit next month. To talk about Spider-Man.
Good. It looks like I might get my wish.
We may very well see somebody joining in.
And furthermore, I should get more into that, too. So they've also said that, like, if they get this to happen, and these emails anyway, and they're controlling the Spider-Man universe, they also don't want any continuity from any Sony film that's come out about Spider-Man. And this is my favorite part. And I forgot what I was just going to say. I was stalling because I forgot what it was. There's no continuity. Oh, and they're not going to reboot the origin.
Yeah.
Thank
they have
and
zero interest of doing the origin story again.
They said they were going to tone down the romantic stuff as well.
Yes, that's
which
right.
I like, even though my favorite parts of Amazing Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man 2 were the romantic stuff.
Me too, but you had the first trilogy
was
that was
super
based
romantic.
Around Mary Jane Parker, and then you had one. Like
yeah,
Gwen
I think
Stacy.
It's good to take a step away. I just think it's funny that... It's like the thing Sony managed to do right is...
And what would you do at this point? You're going to redo Mary Jane Parker or you're going to like do Carly?
And here's the thing. I'm sure Mary Jane or Gwen Stacy, one of them, will be involved. And I'm sure there will be like flirtations. I just think they're going to really put it on the back burner.
Yeah. Which is how it should be.
Yeah.
They also talked about... and this was some Sony talking about their plans. This is great. So Avi Arad was throwing a shit fit, and he's like, I want Venom in all the movies. He's like, the toys... There's one of the emails where he's like, I'm begging you, the toy sells so well. And I was like, Avi Arad, this is why nobody wants you in charge of anything.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things
he
they're talking about...
He had a good run, but it's clearly over.
Yeah, it's clearly... And it's clearly past his prime, and he clearly only cares about money. One of the things they were talking about is going towards an older Peter Parker, like... getting out of college or just fresh out of college.
How about in the 30s, like the person who'll probably play him? That'd be nice.
Hey, now they're almost all. They were, both actors were 27 when they got cast, so technically they're not in their 30s. They're in their 30s when the sequel comes out.
But they're graduating high school.
Yes. They're in their 30s when the sequel comes out.
Yeah.
I think if you hired like a 25, 26 year old and did like fresh out of college, like teaching assistant Peter Parker. I'm on board for that. Let's see that. I want to see those adventures.
I'd be okay. I'm done with the high school thing in the movies. But you know what? If they did it right, I wouldn't so much mind. What I do mind is, and it's no offense to Andrew Garfield. Like, I've said it. Like, I have no problem with Andrew Garfield. But he was too fucking old for that part. And it genuinely bothered me when I watched that first movie. It didn't bother me as much in the second one because... he is out of high school for the most part now when he's graduating at the beginning. So I guess that bothered me a little bit. But it's like, do you have to get these people like close to 30 to play like high school students? It takes away the believability. It's one more thing that pulls me out of the movie.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be pulled out of the movie. That's it. I don't think it's asking that much to not pull me out of a movie. It's a pretty easy fix.
See, this is funny.
There's talented people that are younger.
One of those things that bothers you more than it does me. Not so much that you're wrong. It's more just I have just so adapted to 30-year-olds playing high schoolers that I just don't care. It does not affect me anymore.
Yeah, it usually doesn't.
Because here's the thing. I do watch way more teen dramas than you, which is probably why it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I've watched probably 1,000 hours of 30-year-olds pretending to be in high school. So it's really not a factor
for
me. Tell
me about it, Screech. No, I was just teasing.
That was a real low blow.
But so the thing of it is with Spider-Man though is the high school thing. When you have him as a high schooler, it's just so integral to like who the character is in high school that I don't want to think about an older man like trying to play a high schooler. It just bothers me. I don't know. There's little things that
I'm
bother
just
me.
Imagining
there are easy fixes. There's plenty of
this is one of those things that, I'm imagining like what I see is a 27-year-old pretending to be 17. I'm imagining you seeing like Christopher Walken with a hat on backwards holding a skateboard and a Mountain Dew.
No. That'd be great, actually. I could get behind that one.
Hello,
just for the
fellow
irony.
High schoolers.
More punctuation, but it all needs to be commas and ellipses. If you're gonna pull off the
never a period, never a period,
never a
much
period.
Like a prepubescent girl, never a period in Christopher Walken's life.
So I really enjoyed that. I also enjoyed with the Sony hacked emails that. There was somebody sent an email talking about how there's a few good art pictures, but not enough. But we have tons of Adam Sandler stuff in the works. Like, I thought that was hilarious. Like, even the people who are making money off him are fucking sick of it.
I liked the email talking about Michael Fassbender. There was one just talking about him. He was like, yeah, he's good. I don't know if he's a star. Got a big dick, though. That was great.
Oh, how would you feel if that got out?
Oh my! I don't even know what I would do with myself. I'm so happy this happened. I hope this happens to Disney. I hope this happens to everybody. I want to read everyone in Hollywood's emails.
I don't necessarily. Well, if it's a targeted thing, I would love it to happen to
unfiltered
Disney.
Unfiltered access.
But I'll be honest, man. I don't want to know about what's in the works of Star Wars. I don't want to really know
what's in the mix.
All
I'm saying is
Marvel.
Sony hackers, just get this shit out there and let me sift through it, because I've got a lot of things I'm curious about.
Yeah, fair enough.
I will come in and report on the podcast what I feel is worth talking about if they start breaking into Universal's emails.
In theory, this has to strengthen Marvel Studios' hand in these.
I mean, at the very least, right? It's a piece of leverage that they didn't have before.
Yeah, because, hey, guess what? We've never been hacked.
And they can, well, even think about this. They can now go to the negotiating table and say, when this stuff leaked out, look at the way the internet reacted.
Yeah.
All you have to do is sign this over to us. That's all you have to do.
Look
how much goodwill
for Marvel Studios happened.
And it's like, look how excited people were about us working together. And that was just that we talked about it. It's not hard. Just let it happen. Just let it happen. It'll be over quick, Sony. It's going to be fine.
Just pull down your pants, bend over.
All right. Hold up.
We are talking about studio heads.
Studio heads doing studio head.
That's right. That was a good connection.
Thank
there.
Thank you. So I got a movie review.
A movie review?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Saw Nightcrawler.
Oh, how is it?
Holy shit, you guys. This movie is phenomenal, super dark, super upsetting, just profoundly fucked up in numerous ways. There's some really uncomfortable shit that happens in that movie.
Now let me see if I've read little threads of things, so I'm not exactly sure what the movie is, but I think I have an idea now.
Okay.
So it's about a cameraman who gets shots that nobody else will get? Is that what it is?
Kind of.
Almost like an ambulance chaser.
Yeah, and that's what it is. They're called Nightcrawlers, and they're people who basically listen for police or emergency calls.
But doesn't he force a woman to basically have sex with him, or he's not going to get...
Yeah, and, well, they take this footage and they take it and sell it to news. He has a super fucked up relationship with Rene Russo's character, who's the program director at the station he sells to, and he basically holds her career over her head if she won't have sex with him. And it's the scenes, there's two scenes in particular. Now, they do not, this is something I was really impressed with about the film, not one sex scene between the two of them. Not even any sort of intimate scene.
It's just the implication.
It's just the implication.
What's happening to these women?
Is so much worse, because what you imagine they are doing in your head is so much worse than anything they could show you. It's...
I don't know. Rene Russo sweating like a pig.
The way he talks to her is so, like, forceful and terrifying. It gave me chills and made me feel sick watching it. But there's something really cool about this movie. So the score sort of does... The score is very back and forth. And there are parts of the score that are like this moody, sort of passive, dark, atonal rhythms playing for most of it, which sort of set the tone for the woman you'd expect. But in some scenes, the score is the complete opposite of what's happening on the screen.
Which is always great, too.
Yeah,
that's something that Tarantino does.
In these scenes where he's essentially sexually threatening Rene Russo, the most romantic orchestral music in the world is playing, like, strings are swelling. It's beautiful, like, beautiful, touching music, and he's threatening her. It's a really, really, icky, squicky movie. It's super icky, fascinating. Jake Gyllenhaal
Do you think this is an Oscar-nominated performance?
It's worthy
thus far.
It's of what I've seen, this would make my five.
Okay,
without question.
Because I know we are now hitting the block where stuff's going to start dropping. So
without question,
you can't say like, oh, for sure.
Yeah, but of what I've seen, this would make my five. There, Jake Gyllenhaal over, I'd say, the past 2 years. I've always liked Jake Gyllenhaal. I've always been a pro Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
I've always defended
me too.
Over the past 2 years,
but especially because the first thing I saw him in was Donnie Darko. So it gave me a positive thing for him.
It earned some goodwill.
Yeah.
Over the past 2 years, this guy has found another level. Like, he's been on this run of prisoners and enemy and this and a few other things, and he's stepped his game up to an insane degree. He is so goddamn good and so goddamn underappreciated. I don't even know. It's getting silly that people are sort of sleeping on this guy as one of the great younger actors.
Well, this has gotten a lot of ink too.
It better, and it deserves it, and I hope it gets more. It is a riveting, magnetic performance. This is very much a movie that lives on the heels of its performance, of its lead performance. And it's a character unlike anything else I've watched. It's got shades of Taxi Driver. It's got shades of Drive. But it's still very much its own animal. And this sort of weird, greasy, sickly, gaunt, aggressive Lewis Bloom character he's created is... It's his masterpiece to this point in his career. It is an incredible performance and an incredible character, and it holds the rest of the movie together. There are three really good support... There's really only three and a half characters to get any screen time. And I say half. It's a full character, but he's only in about half the movie. And the four characters you focus on are Jake Gyllenhaal's Lewis Bloom. Rene Russo is the station manager. Riz Ahmed, who... plays essentially Lewis Bloom's intern/assistant, and Bill Paxton as the guy he meets who sort of sets him on this path of night crawling. And the Bill Paxton character's relationship with him is especially interesting. So from the first scene, we see Jake Gyllenhaal's character is a thief. From the very first scene, the first thing we learn about him is that he is a violent thief. And he proceeds to try to steal Bill Paxton's career. And it gets weird. And
from
fucked
there,
up
it gets weird
and dark. Like, this movie, the end of this movie is dark. The middle of this movie, real dark. There's not a lot of optimism to be found. For those of you who like the more exciting, happy things in life, the climactic car chase is one of the best car chases of probably the past 2 or 3 years. It's a really visually interesting, exciting car chase. It's really, really cool. It's a hyper-tense climax.
Well, I got something to review, too.
Hit it.
I said about a month ago that I would review St. Vincent after it was out of...
Yeah, and it's gone now.
Yeah, and it's gone out of the Cinemark Theater because they tried to dick over the Myrna Loy.
That's right.
So, and as I pointed out, I don't think they did a lot of business on that one, so...
I should go look into that, but I haven't because I was bitter and pissy.
You can actually look into
that? Oh, hell yeah, I can. I can see what any theater in America that participates.
You should look into it. But anyway, St. Vincent is really good. Really good, you guys. It has been a long time since I've seen Bill Murray in a lead, and a comedic lead at that, and just fucking nail it. Like, he is so good in this movie. He plays this grouchy old guy. Basically, he just seems like a big bag of shit.
I like it. On board. It.
Melissa McCarthy, who's very much playing a straight man in it, moves in next door with her son. And so, like, this is where it's, like, a little bit formulaic. Like, she's got a kid, and the kid helps him rub off some edges a little bit. But you also learn some things about his character. Like, for example, he's nailing a hooker played by Naomi Watts, who is, like,
Shout out to you, Naomi Watts.
Kind of unrecognizable in this role. I didn't know until I saw the credits that it was her.
Can we take a slight detour and just say that the recreation of Naomi Watts this year from leading lady to character actress has been an incredibly smart decision on her part.
And that's what I was going to say. Like, she really nails a Russian accent. Like, when I was watching it...
Oh, she's Russian?
I really believed that it was a Russian actress playing
it
when I was watching it. And then when I saw the credits, it's like, oh, of course that's Naomi Watts. Like, I just felt stupid for not recognizing it, but she really does a great job.
Good on you, Naomi Watts.
But anyway, so he's like... He's nailing Naomi Watts, but you find out he's got a wife, too, who has Alzheimer's, and he visits her every day.
That is the darkest thing I've ever
heard. Seems like it, right? Also, turns out, not only does she not recognize him, gets uncomfortable every time he even tries to hold her hand.
Oh, this is profoundly
And this
upsetting.
Has been going on for years.
This is profoundly upsetting
so
to me.
So you learn there's a reason why for some of the douchebaggery that he does. But it's fucking great, dude. Bill Murray is so great at just playing this role where he's just fucking despicable. Like, he gets drunk at a bar and knocks down his own fence.
Nice.
And then the neighbors move in and they're cutting, like, they have somebody trimming a tree when they come in or something, and they knock down part of his tree, and then he says that his fence got knocked down too, even though his car is on part of the fence. And so the whole time he's trying to get her to pay for the fence, even though he fucked up the fence. And, like, he starts babysitting this kid, and he takes the kid to the track and does all this messed up stuff with the kid. But there's one part where he decides he's going to go to a strip club, but he's babysitting the kid. So he tells him to call his mother and tell him that he got, like, he's okay. And so he's like, here, go ahead, make a phone call, and, like, flips him a dime. And he goes, it costs more than that. And he goes, since when? And he's like, since the 90s. And so he, like, has this ashtray in his car that he just dumps out on the kid's lap, and it's filled with ashes and all kinds of yuck. It's just like, here, go ahead, make your call. The kid's going to pick out quarters out of the ashes on his lap. It's so fucking great, dude. It's so funny. I really recommend it. There's also a part where he winds up getting a stroke. And so this is where, like, I think it should be an Oscar-nominated performance off of what I've seen so far, because he is so convincing when he's got the stroke. What worries me is that a lot of people are going to see this and they're going to think it's over the top and that he's like, kind of thing with the stroke. But I work with people who've had strokes, and he nails it. Like, he is talking, and his verbiage and everything is exactly like somebody who's had a stroke. So that's where I'm like, somebody who's seen somebody with a stroke will totally get what a great job he's had. But I get nervous that people look at that part of the performance and think he's hamming it up.
Yeah.
So people need to, like, look up a video of somebody with a stroke on YouTube and not and then one watch of the this ones, movie.
Not one of the videos where, like, it's a newscaster having a stroke as they talk. Those are not the right videos.
No.
Yeah.
Entertaining for different reasons. Not the right
ones. That wow. I've not seen, but definitely check out St. Vincent.
The reason
especially
I say
now that it's out of Cinemark.
I should make this clear before somebody thinks I'm an asshole. The reason they're entertaining is not because someone had a stroke. It's the reaction of the other people on the news team trying to figure out what's going on that is hysterical about these videos. Because they just never get it. They never get what's happening. Not a single one of them.
Yeah. What's been going on with you, Brandon?
Not a whole lot. I got the Blu-ray Guardians of the Galaxy. It's been like a countdown every day in our house.
How's the extras on it?
Wonderful. They have this whole thing that they put together, just going talking about the movie with James Gunn, and they put, like, all the segues between the different sections of it are like 8-bit versions of Guardians of the Galaxy, and
nice.
It's just a lot of fun.
That's great. That was such a fun movie, too.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so happy I own them.
I stand by everything I said about it, up to and including the things I said before it came out.
I'm just happy they didn't let me down, and they delivered a movie that I actually enjoyed more than Avengers, and I didn't think I would.
Yeah. Yeah, gotta boy Marvel.
Yeah, because Avengers, the stakes were higher.
Mm.
The stakes weren't nearly as high in this movie as it was for Avengers, but it's fucking more enjoyable. I don't know. Like, I laughed through the whole thing.
It seems like way more self-assured than Avengers did.
Yeah.
Like, it has a cockiness that Avengers didn't have.
Yeah, and you kind of have to have a cockiness with yeah. these characters, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Apropos of nothing. So, over the past 3 or 4 months, my life has essentially been a series of existential crises. Like, basically every night, I just break down about something. And one of these existential crises has led me to watching a lot of romantic comedies on TV. Just a lot of them. And so I'd like to give a little roundup, a romantic comedy roundup, for people out there who like romantic comedies on television and also are curious about how I feel about romantic comedies on television. Because it turns out I love that genre. I genuinely love it. So I'm going to go from worst to best.
Okay.
Manhattan Love Story, is a real shit show. It is one of the most abominable pieces of television I've ever laid eyes upon. It is abhorrent. It is misogynistic. It is chauvinistic. It is, it makes men look like irredeemable monsters. It's just, there's nothing good. Okay. When the conceit of your show is, here are two young pretty people in New York City who love each other, who are going to fall in love. They are shallow and rich. Those are the two things we know about both of them. They're shallow, rich, and they're going to fall in love with each other. Please don't make us hear their thoughts. Because their thoughts... Okay, most people have more thoughts than they do things they say out loud. So generally, you've sort of filtered out the extra dumb stuff and you speak what's left. With the things these characters speak are real dumb. Their thoughts are 1,000 times dumber than anything they could say. These are the worst human beings. They're just awful, unlikable. Do not watch this show. Do not watch this show unless you want to be blind. Next is A to Z. Not good. Not good. Mostly bland. Likable leads.
I don't even know what
A There's to no, Z
is. Never heard
Your life is happy you're not knowing. It's not a good show.
Who's in it?
Christina Milioti and another guy who's bullshit, mostly. It's not a good show. Then there's Selfie. Now, I should note the bottom three shows on this list have all been canceled for good reason. Selfie has moments. It's two very likable leads who have pretty good chemistry. The supporting characters are garbage people. I'm sure there's someone out there who this is for. It's not me. Next is Marry Me. Marry Me is pretty good. It's from the creator of Happy Endings. It stars Casey Wilson from Happy Endings and Ken Marino from The State and a million other things. And it's really, really good.
Oh, yeah. That was one I was actually considering watching it. Just because of Ken Marino.
It's very sweet. The characters are very likable. The supporting...
Ken Marino is going to put his balls in it. It's that guy.
Yeah. I'm going to put my balls in it.
You know The State?
No.
Come on.
You know Ken Marino.
We watched The State in high school. Remember, like...
Did you watch Veronica Mars?
No.
Okay, just
no way. Like, they did the sketches like, we got $250 worth of pudding. Oh, yeah. No?
Not at all.
I'm Doug, and you're Dad. No?
I vaguely remember that.
Okay.
Call me old-fashioned. We've established
you've seen The State.
So, it follows them and their quest to get married and their proposal. It's cute. It's much like Happy Endings. The premise is basically just to get the show started, and then it's about a couple and their friends. The supporting cast needs some time to grow into their legs, but this is one that I think will grow into a very good show, or at least I have high hopes for. Then there's Mindy Project, which is...
I've heard you, like...
Mindy Project?
Going on and on about how great that is.
Mindy Project... The first two seasons are pretty good.
And then they did an anal scene.
And then the third season happened. And it's basically a different show now, but it's a way better show. Chris Messina and Mindy Kaling have amazing chemistry. The cast, they finally got rid of the people who didn't work, added people who did work, and sort of ironed out the relationships. I cannot say enough about this show. It would be my favorite romantic comedy on TV if it weren't for one I just watched. It's a show that aired on FX. It is the most offensive of these shows, but in the best
Office
way.
Middle Earth?
No, it is called...
Oh. You're Did you see that?
Yeah.
This show is called You're the Worst. Have either of you guys heard of this?
No.
This show is the best. This show is...
this show is the opposite of its title.
Yes. This show is about two unrepentant assholes who don't fall in love so much as settle for each other because they're the only other person on Earth who can stand one another.
What's the name of the show?
You're the Worst.
You're the Worst.
Okay. It is hysterical.
Jason Moore was in a band called The Worst.
Yeah?
And I always pictured if a show was going to be called You're the Worst, that would be their reality show.
No, this You're the Worst is literally saying these characters are abhorrent people, but they're abhorrent in the way that, like, the cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia or The League are abhorrent, like, entertainingly abhorrent. They're two best friends. Mm. One is a girl who can't stop having sex, is the main girl's best friend, and the main guy's best friend is a veteran with PTSD, and they actually handle it with a lot of tact, except for he also uses the PTSD to get out of ever working. It's an amazing show. This show's hysterical, and everyone needs to watch it, and it's getting a second season. And it's just watch the trailer. Okay. It's so good.
I got bad news, guys.
I like rom-coms. That's the bad news.
I got more bad news. The League, it was just announced they're doing their last season next year.
Seventh and final season. Although, here's the thing.
The good news is it hopefully won't get bad, because they only have one season to make it bad if it does.
The better news is this show somehow made it 7 seasons.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, it doesn't even feel like it should be ending, though.
No, I know. No. It feels like it just got started.
Yeah, it does.
That's the curse of the short episode
seasons. That's crazy to me. It's gone on 7 seasons, though.
Yeah, it really is.
It doesn't feel that long.
I was telling a buddy of mine, and he was like, well, that's good. There's 2 more seasons left. I was like, no, it's just the one. He's like, but didn't we just finish season 5? I was like,
nah,
no, man.
We just finished season 6.
Yeah, that's a bummer, man.
It really is.
I guess, the first 2 I power watch, but still, that means I've been watching that show for five years.
That's
crazy. I can't believe I've been watching it for that long. It can't have been that long, right? Like, yeah, maybe it was like 9 months between some seasons.
It debuted
something.
My senior year of high school.
No, they always do it during football season.
Yeah, because they always have the draft right around the kickoff.
Yeah, it debuted my senior year of high school.
That's crazy. Uh-huh. Oh, my head hurts even thinking about that.
Really makes me feel old in a way that...
Shut up. You're old, I'm goddamn ancient. I want to touch back on something we were just talking about for a second. So Saturday Night Live did the funniest sketch, dude. They did The Office Middle Earth because they had... Who's the guy from The Hobbit and...
Martin Freeman.
They had Martin Freeman. So they did the British version of The Office with Lord of the Ring characters. Fucking, they nail it, dude.
It was pretty
funny. Have you ever seen The British Office?
No.
Did you get into the... You got a little into, like, The American Office,
I watched a little bit here and there, but nothing, like, I followed.
You should commit to The British Office. It's 2 seasons. It's, like... 20 episodes in a special. It's brilliant, dude. And it does stuff that you could never do in The American Office. I mean, there's like jokes about porn that you could never do, for example. Like, it's hilarious. But yeah, they have this guy who's basically doing Ricky Gervais as Gandalf. Fucking nailing it. I don't know who the guy was, but the guy who played Gollum fucking does a great Gollum, and he's like in basically khaki shorts, like really short khaki shorts with like a collar and a tie, but like no shirt on, like leaning over his desk and hunches, like talking like him, and he's supposed to be Dwight.
Oh,
so they
fantastic.
Have a part where he's like looking for his precious, and of course Jim put it in Jello. It's great, dude. It's so funny. Like, if you're a fan of the BBC Office, you got to check it out. Like, how many people have even seen The British Office? And to do a sketch with that, with The Hobbit, was just hilarious to me. Like, I haven't been watching Saturday Night Live, but the individual sketches they're putting out, the ones they pre-film, they're fucking nailing it. Because
the pre-film, they've done really well. The live stuff has been terrible.
That's what I've been hearing too, but maybe they're growing into the cast too, because this is
it's definitely a new cast season.
Yeah, you got to give them a little bit of time, like a season or two to kind of figure out their shit,
the chemistry.
I think.
yeah
but that one on the heels of the Star Wars one last week, like, they're kind of fucking nailing it right now.
You know what was really funny? My wife and I were talking about the who was going to be on Saturday Night Live, and we couldn't come up with Martin Freeman, and I had no idea who the host was. And she's like, "It's The Hobbit," and I'm like, just drawing a blank. I'm like, "It's Kim Kardashian." I guess nobody's seen that South Park one.
No, talking to the wrong dude, man.
Well, there's a whole episode of South Park with Kanye West. Makes his another appearance, and throughout the entire thing, like, the whole premise is defending that Kim Kardashian is not a hobbit. Okay, so she lives underground with 10 dwarves and, like, pulls out a cell phone. Bitch, how you not a hobbit again? Oh, okay. That's right. That's right. Love you too. Bye-bye.
Do they work in fish sticks into there?
Oh, yeah. They have a whole callback to the fish sticks.
How can you not?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is probably a good place to end it, unless anybody's got anything.
I don't know. Do you guys want to hear me talk about You're the Worst some more?
No.
I didn't think so. Let's end it.
I'll check it out, though, I promise. What's it on?
It's on FX.
It's on FX. Okay. Yeah. Does Hulu have it? Do I have
it
to have
it? It doesn't right now,
thing?
But I think you can watch it on FX now. Which is like their own little Hulu thing.
Oh, no. That means I'm going to have to put in a cable provider, huh?
I don't think I did. Of course, I also don't remember how I watched them. I might have found them in a less than legal fashion. I can't remember. It was really late and I had been drinking.
I'm pretending like I care.
It was really late and I had been drinking. I was lying. Just end. Just kill this. Play the outro.
Yeah, take it easy.
Respect the outro.
I'm saying respect the outro. You weren't respecting the outro. I said a call now.
I'm going to make you watch Manhattan Love Story. Both of you. It's the worst thing I've ever witnessed. I couldn't even finish an episode.